Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter number 1, verse number 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. We could stop right there and we could camp out for a while, because there is an order that is set there. And there's a lot of people that want to be separated unto the gospel of God, but they don't ever want to be a servant. And let me just tell you here that before you can ever become or look or aspire to be an apostle, you're going to have to be a servant. And if you can't be a servant, you'll never be able to hit these next two spots. So he said, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle and separated unto the gospel of God. Now let's skip down to verse number 7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and even the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Romans chapter number 12. Verse number 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. I simply want to preach, teach tonight for a little while. Let the church be the church. Amen. Let the church be the church. Praise God. Let's ask the Lord to help us here today. Hallelujah. Jesus, we need you here tonight. God, we are leaning upon you. We're trusting in you. We're believing in you. God, and we are stating that if you don't help us, God, that we're in a world of trouble. But I pray, God, that you would open up your heart and your mind to us as we open our hearts and our minds unto you. And let us know your heartbeat. Let us know your thoughts today, God. Lord Jesus, help us, O Lord God, to accept the vision, the burden, God, the calling that you have for us, Lord. And we will be quick to give you the glory and the praise in the lovely name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. And God bless you, and you may be seated. Now, a common mistake of many people that read their Bible, study their Bible, profess to be students of the Bible, profess to be followers of the Bible. Here is an area that is commonly mistaken. And that is that they go into the books written unto the churches to try to find salvation. All right? You're not going to find how to be saved in the Pauline epistles. If you want to be saved, you've got to go to the book of Acts. The book of Acts is what they did to be saved. They went to an upper room. We don't have an upper room, but we do have a church. And they prayed. And they repented of their sins. And they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. Spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. And they were baptized in Jesus' name. Later on in Acts chapter number 2, we would see that the same thing happened, that they received the Holy Ghost and that they were baptized. And the Bible said that the Lord added unto the church that day 3,000 souls were added to the church, and he continued to add to the church daily such as should be saved. You'll see in several different places in the Bible, you'll see in Acts chapter number 8, that they prayed and that great joy came to Samaria, but as of yet none had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So joy does not equate to salvation. When you get salvation, you will be joy. Because Peter said, amen, that it is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. The Old Testament, they said that with joy shall you draw water from the wells of salvation. And so that's going to happen. Amen. But they had great joy, but they had not received the Holy Ghost. It was a separate and distinct experience when they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, were baptized in Jesus' name. Acts chapter number 10, Cornelius' house. They heard the preaching of the word of God. And the Bible said that all that heard the word, that the Holy Ghost fell upon them, they received the Holy Ghost, and then they were baptized in Jesus' name. Acts chapter number 19, you will see the same thing happen. And Paul asked them, he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said, we haven't even heard whether there be such a thing. And Paul said, unto whom then were you baptized? They said, we were baptized unto John's baptism. And so he commanded them that they would be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and then they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost as well. And what people tried to do is they tried to go into the book of Romans to find salvation. And just explicitly, they go to Romans chapter number 10, and they begin to talk about that with their mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And they are not rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. They are taking that out of context. As we read here today in our text, Paul's writing to the Romans, and he stated, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle separated unto the gospel of God. We understand that we are built upon the foundation of the apostles, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. And then he states in verse number 7 that he is writing to the church. He's not writing to sinners. He's writing to the saints. And that's what he states right there. To all that are called to be saints, grace be unto you. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so he specifies that. He's writing unto the church. He's not writing unto the city of Rome. He's writing to the church in Rome. To the church that had already experienced a day of Pentecost happening in their lives. You can go through each of the epistles there that he writes, and you will see the same introduction. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth. 2 Corinthians, he starts off the same way. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, unto the church of God which is at Corinth. In the book of Galatians, he says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ. And in verse number 2, he said, unto the churches of Galatia. In Ephesians, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the... What is he saying? He said, amen, Paul, the apostle. In other words, I have the authority to write this. And so he says, Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ, to the saints which are in Ephesus. In Philippians, he said, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, unto all the saints in Christ Jesus which are in Philippi. In Colossians, he said, Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ which are in Colossae. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians 1, Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians. Amen. And so Paul establishes his epistles there and lets us know that he is writing unto the church. And that is what we have got to be careful of. We've got to study the scriptures, as he told, amen, Timothy there in 2 Timothy 2. Study the scriptures, amen, that we would be wise even unto salvation, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so we take this and we understand that what Paul is writing about in Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Thessalonians, he is writing to the church body. What is he addressing? He is addressing the problems that are in the church body, the problems that the saints of God have. Amen. Because that you are saints does not mean that you are perfect. Amen. Nobody is perfect. We are just striving, even as he spoke in Philippians, forgetting those things which are behind us and pressing forward to the mark of the high calling which is in Christ Jesus. And so we are pressing, we are pushing, we are striving. We are not continuing in sin that grace may abound. Romans 6, amen, 1, 2, 3, and 4. But we are doing our best. We understand that grace, as he spoke to Titus, that grace is given us, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, godly, and righteously in this present world. And so Paul is just addressing church issues. In the book of Romans, he is addressing an entire church of Rome that had an issue with accepting that Jesus Christ was God. And he even starts off in the book of Romans, chapter number 10. Amen. As he starts off there in chapter number 10, he stated, let me find it so that I can read it to you. But he talks about his worries. He said, "My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." Amen. He is likening the situation to the Israelites. Amen. Those that were not accepting. Jesus said, "I came unto my own, and they received me not." And Paul is likening this in the same way. Here you are, and you're the ones that crucified the Christ, and you're going to have to understand this, and you're going to have to confess with your heart, and you're going to have to believe, amen, confess with your mouth, and you're going to have to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. You're going to have to have faith in that. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. And he goes on, praise God. But we're just putting the point forward today that Paul is speaking unto the church. Amen. Praise God. Talking to the church. Now, who is the church? What is the church? The church is not necessarily the four walls that we all congregate in and turn the air conditioner on or the heater on. It's not the place that has the padded pews. Amen. It's just the place that we would call the church. But you and I are the church. We make up the general assembly, the body, the firstborn of the believers, believer of firstborns. Amen. We make up that. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Amen. And so you and I, we make up what is called the church. Praise God. And then he tells the church in the remaining part of our text here, as he is speaking unto the church, he said, "I beseech you, therefore." Who? Amen. The entire body of the church. Amen. He's not just pointing out Brother Henry and Brother Hunter. Amen. He is talking to everybody, the entire group of believers. Amen. He is stating and specifically pointing out here, "I beseech ye, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies," that every one of us present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is our reasonable service. And then he says this, he says, "Be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed." Don't let the church be conformed to this world, but let the church be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may be able to prove that which is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. I believe that we have got to take this as an individual commandment unto us. I believe that all of us have got to take this personally. All of us have got to look into the mirror of God's word and see what manner of man that we are, or what manner of woman that you are, and that you would take measures and steps to fix that, so that we would be in fulfillment of Paul's commandment here in Romans chapter number 12. We need to take it individually, that
we would present our bodies a living sacrifice unto God. Holy, amen. We need to make sure that we are holy in our lives. Amen. Which includes our conversation. A lot of people just want to state that holiness is an outward adorning. But I submit to you today that holiness, amen, is an inside issue. Amen. Holiness is the nature of God. And if you've got the nature of God on the inside, amen, it'll manifest itself on the outside. You cannot profess to be holiness minded, amen, and be rude in conversation. I know you're going to have bad days. I know that you're going to have, amen, tough times. I have tough times. There's times that I wake up on the wrong side of the bed and I get up on the same side of the bed every day. And but I'm just simply saying there are times, amen, that you're not going to be on top of the world. Amen. That you're going to feel the pressures of hell. You're not going to have a great day. You're going to have bad days. Amen. And so these things are going to happen. But don't let them be the norm because you're living outside of the will of God. God wants to strengthen you. God wants to help you. God wants to make you happy. God wants to make you victorious. God wants you to live, amen, above the world. Hallelujah. That is the will of God. Amen. The will of God is not that we take an oath of poverty and that we live like homeless, amen, subjects, amen, and that we live like whipped and indentured servants and such, amen. We are the children of God. We are the redeemed of the Lamb, amen. We have been bought with the price by the blood, even that Brother Worth preached about this past Sunday. The blood, the price of redemption has been paid for us, amen. You don't have to walk around with your head down, amen, and ashamed, amen, of this. Paul stated to the church, I am not ashamed of the gospel of God, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Thank the Lord. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. And so he is talking about this church, and let me just begin to put some things forth for the church because there are some things that are specific about the church. And number one is that the church has a spiritual identity. Ephesians chapter number 1, reading quite a bit, beginning at verse number 15. Paul wrote to the church there in Ephesus, and he said, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of understanding might be, your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in the world but also that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head of all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And so the church has a spiritual entity. Amen. I just want to reiterate this here today, that our church has got to be what God intends it to be. And that's my thought here tonight. Let the church be the church. Amen. I pray that it would never be that this place that we call the church and this place that we call the body of Christ, that it would not be just a social gathering, that it's not a gathering that we just come together, amen, to have friendships and relationships, even though in time and already is, that's what it is. But I envision at some point in time we're going to have little tykes running around here in their diapers, and they're going to be running up up to each and every one of you, and they're going to call you Aunt Pam, amen, and they're going to call you, amen, whatever they're going to call you, and that's just the relationship that happens in the church, but let it never just simply be that. We must always be understanding, realizing, and pushing that there is a greater cause of why that we assemble. There is a heaven and there is a hell. There is a God and there is a devil. And the devil's going to do everything that he can in order to trip me up and to cause me to be lost. My hope is the church. My hope is the Word of God. My hope is what happens in the church. Amen. So many of us can stand and testify and say, if he never blesses me again, I'll just live for him forever. I don't know if you understand how much that you really depend upon the blessings of God. I don't even want to try to live without the blessings of God. I want to be very thankful for the blessings of God. The Bible teaches us that he loads daily upon us benefits of all of these blessings. I want to be thankful for those blessings. I want to be thankful for the health that he gives me, the prosperity that he blesses me with. Amen. The carefulness and the safety that he has upon me every day. For the Bible says that angels encamp round about them that fear the Lord. I don't want to live a day without the blessings of God. I don't want to live a day with God so far away from me. I don't want to try to make it to heaven with just the relationship of friends. I want to come to church and I want to feel his power. I want to feel his presence. I want to feel his deliverance. I want to feel his help. I want to feel his healing virtue come over me. That's what the church is for. Amen, 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 amen. And he is the head over all things to the church. He is the head of the church. Praise God. Amen. We understand that the church is a spiritual entity. James said in James 2 and 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. This church is dead, twice dead and plucked up by the roots if we take God out of it. If we take prayer out of it, if we take fasting out of it, if we take worship out of it, if we take all the things that we do in the church, if we take those things out of it, we cease to be the church. Oh, we cannot do that. We've got to keep the entity of the church, and the foremost of it all, it's got to be spiritual. That's why it's important that when we come into the house of God, we make time to pray. God, I want you to be here. I don't want to just sing songs. I don't want to just play music. I don't want to just go through the motions. I don't want to just hear a motivational speech. I want God to talk to me. I want God to open up unto me what I'm facing, what I'm going against, and help me through the Word of God to be able to be an overcomer.
Praise God. And so the entity must never lose its identity. The church must never succumb to the world's philosophies, must never succumb to the world's ways. We cannot stoop to be that low. I don't care if they're running 10,000. You hear me tonight. I don't care if they're running 15,000. The church cannot stoop to be what they are. We cannot just be a motivational speech place. We cannot just be, amen, a place that we just congregate and just feel good about ourselves. This has got to be a place where addictions are broken. This has got to be a place, amen, where disease is healed. This has got to be a place where the lost are saved. Amen. And let me just state that if disease is never healed, which I don't believe that's the will of God. Amen. But if disease is never healed, this has got to be a place where the lost can find salvation.
This has got to be a place where they can come in those back doors and they can feel the presence of God immediately, and they can feel the unction of the Spirit and the drawing of the Holy Ghost. This has got to be a place that, for some reason, I don't know, but I'm just weeping and crying. This has got to be a place where I don't understand what's going on, but I just feel like I need to go to the front. What is going on? It's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God moving. The Spirit of God drawing. And hey, church, let me tell you something. God is depending upon us, because He's not going to press Himself into the service. He's not going to push Himself into the service. But He said, I'm going to come and I'm going to look and I'm going to see if there's somebody that's going to worship Me. I'm going to see if there's somebody that'll draw nigh unto Me. I'm going to see if the worshipers have shown up. And if the worshipers haven't shown up, then I'm going to keep looking. But oh, when He stops by 1200 Henry, I want Him to hear the praises of God echoing out of this place. I want Him to feel the love of God being manifest out of our hearts. I want Him to see the love that we have in our worship, in our demonstration of worship unto Him.
Praise God. Praise God. The church must never travel the world, the road that the world uses. There is a better way. Amen. It may be a narrow way. It may be a straight way. It may be the way less traveled. But nevertheless, it's the right way. It's the right way. Praise God. Praise God. You need to check your spirit. You need to check your spirit if we begin to think, you know what? If that pastor would just calm down a little bit. If that preacher just wouldn't be so intense. You know, everybody wants a day of Pentecost experience, but nobody wants to do what they did on the day of Pentecost to get it. Everybody wants to see thousands pray to the Holy Ghost, but they want to do it the new way. They want to put the Ark of the Covenant upon a new cart. They want to pull it in by oxen. They don't want to carry the burden of it anymore. They want to do it the easy way instead of the hard way. Amen. Amen. There's something wrong with the church when we get to the place that we say, well, you know what? That's just not the way of the church today. And if we're going to be able to entertain more, we're not in the business for entertaining people. But we're going to have to change up. We're going to have to change our music. We're going to have to change our actions. We're going to have to change all the... I'm not against new songs. I just want the songs to glorify God. I don't want the songs, amen, just to be simply appeasing to the flesh. Amen. And that is just a hip and a hop and a beat. Amen. That everybody comes to and can get to bebopping and amen, with the music and stuff. No, I want the Spirit of God to be able to move in every one of our songs. And if I don't feel like that's good, then I'll just say, hey, let's not sing that song again. Amen. Or we need to change up the way that we go about it. But there needs to be something in our song that is able to get a hold of the heart. It may be old, old, old. Amen. But it can still reach the heart. And it may be new. I'll just tell you, Amazing Grace was new at one time. Amen. What Can Wash Away Your Sins? Amen. Was new at one time. Oh, I Want to See Him was new at one time. There's going to be new songs that comes in, but let them all magnify God. Let them express the doctrine, amen, of who God is and all that God is, amen, and let them glorify, amen, the Lord of glory. Let the church be the church. Praise God. Praise God. Well, you know, if that pastor would get online and start getting his messages online and stuff, and if he would go and get some of these podcasts from all these other people and he'd begin to preach, you know, he'd be less offensive. There were many that came to Jesus and they were offended by Him. And many left Him. And they came to Jesus, His own 12 disciples came to Him, and they said, Lord, that is a hard saying. And He said, are you going to leave too? They said, to where would we go? For you have the keys to eternal life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's the way that the church has got to be. We don't have to be offensive. As a matter of fact, we need to be able to express the love of God. We need to be able to manifest the love of God. We need to be able to show forth the long-suffering of God, the mercy of God. We need to be able to extend the grace of God. Amen. It's not our place. I understand there's some things that we've got to judge. And people say, well, the Bible says judge not. And that's where they stop. You didn't even finish reading the rest of the verse. The rest of the scripture's there. He said, judge not, lest ye be judged with the same judgment that you mete out. So don't be judged unless you're ready to be judged by the same way. And Paul even told the church, first of all, he said judgment was going to begin in the house of God. But then he said, you know, there's some things that you should judge. He said, no, don't you understand that one of these days you're going to judge angels? You know, you've got enough scripture to say that's right and that's wrong. Well, glory. Praise God. But that ought not to be, amen, the forefront of the church, that we just want to pick and pick apart everything and just judge. I want mercy. I want grace. I want God to be merciful with me. Amen. And therefore, I'll be merciful. Amen. You go back to where, amen, the master looked at the servant and he said, yeah, I forgive you of all of this. And he forgave him of a whole bunch. And then that servant went over here and he wouldn't forgive this one of just a little bit. And God forgave you of all of your sins, and you won't forgive this one for something that you consider a big thing. Amen. The master came back and said, throw him into prison. Amen. Throw him into prison and let him be judged. Amen. By it all. I want mercy. I want grace. And so I want to be long-suffering. I want to be full of mercy. And I believe that that's what God would have the church to be. Amen. We're not perfect. We can't expect everybody else to be perfect. Hallelujah. But let the church be the church. And what is that? He said, don't conform to this world. Don't fit into the molding of this world. Don't look like the rest of this world. Don't act like the rest of this world's churches. Look like the rest of this world's churches. Do the things of this. Why? Because you'll lose your power. You lose your identity. And when you lose the identity, you lose the power of God. We need to be willing to step up and to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Oh God, tell me what it's going to take. Show me what I got to do. I want to see your church being effective in this day and time. Let's just love him today. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so the church was not designed to be passive or just to get by. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, you can say that the gates of hell were not going to overtake the church. But literally, what it means is that the gates of hell would not stand successfully against the church when the church goes reaching. The gates of hell may surround all the sinners and stuff, but when the church gets to the place that they need to be, those gates won't stand in defense. The church will walk straight through them. And the book of Jude said some save with fear and some save pulling them out of the flames. The church is going to get them and pull them out. And the gates of hell will not be able to resist it. The church is offensive, not defensive. That's the way that God wants us to be. That's the way that God designed this church to be. He said, without him, we could do nothing. And so we rely upon that. And he said, I'm going to give you power to tread upon scorpions. I'll give you power over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. And so God gave everything that the church needed to do this. God gave us the weapons. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 4 and 5. And so we are to take on the whole armor of God, Ephesians chapter number 6. And we are to have that breastplate of righteousness and our feet shod with the gospel, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And we're supposed to have the sword of the Spirit. And we're supposed to have the helmet of salvation. And so God has given us all these things. But we understand that they're not just for sitting idle. There are things that God would have us to do. They came unto Jesus as the disciples. They came unto Jesus and they said, Lord, we tried to cast the devils out of this one and it wouldn't happen. And what is the deal? And Jesus said, this kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. God said, I'm going to give you the weapons to be successful. I'm going to give you the ability to be able to overcome the spirits that would assail you. The disciples represented a church without the power. They said, Lord, we've tried to do it and we can't do it. They represented a church without the power. And the Lord said, if you want the power, you're going to have to commit to prayer and fasting. Commit to prayer and fasting. Can I just tell you, New Life Tabernacle, that there are people in this community, in Augusta and in Butler County, that are depending upon the church. They may not even know it at this point in time, but they are depending upon the church to break some yokes in prayer and in fasting. There are people, amen, that what the gates of hell is doing is they are preventing them from coming. And the church has got to press through that, amen, and have that to happen. And so people will come when the church buckles down and begins to pray. There are people that will never be able to come to this church until something gets awoke with inside of them. And that's through the prayer of the saints of God. The saints of God began to pray fervently in the spirit and began to fast. You don't have to have me to stand up and say, amen, who can fast today this week? Amen. I would that you would get aggressive enough in the spirit that you would say, you know what, pastor didn't ask for somebody to fast this week, but this is just what I'm going to do. I'm going to fast one day every week. Amen. Praise God. If we want to see, there's people that say, oh, I want to see revival. I want to see revival. I want to have revival. Amen. And then they don't ever want to do anything to have revival. That's not the plan of God. Let the church be the church. And Jesus said, this kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting. I am so very thankful for the times that I come up here. Amen. And I see people at the church praying. And I know some of you can't get here, amen, all the time to pray because you live, amen, way away from this place. And so be it. But you know what? I think sometimes our priorities are just a little skewed because we have money for everything else, but we don't have money to come to the house of God, amen, or to do extra things with the house of God. We need to make sure that our priorities are right with God. God gave you that money. God gave you that job. God blessed you with all of that. Amen. You can use it to bless the house of God. Amen. And one of the greatest ways that you can bless the house of God is being faithful in prayer. Being faithful in the spiritual things. And you may say, Pastor, I can't be there every day to pray at the church. But I tell you what I will do. I'm going to sacken off some time. And I'm going to find a place to pray in the house. And I'm not going to be cleaning my house while I'm praying. But I'm going to be focused and I'm going to be praying. I'm very thankful for those that have answered the call of God. That at 3 o'clock in the morning, God wakes you up and you roll out of that bed and you get up and you begin to pray. There's something happening. You know what's happening? Somebody is saying, God, I'm available to your service. And God's saying, I'm going to use you. I want the church to be the church. And when the church is the church, this building won't be able to hold the entire church. Hallelujah. God has got a mighty revival. God has got a way to do it. God knows how to draw people unto Him and to get a hold of hearts.
The Cinderella of the church today is the prayer meeting. I said the Cinderella of the church today is prayer meeting. The handmaid of the Lord is unloved, unwooed, because she's not dripping with the pearls of intellectualism, nor glamorous with the silks of philosophy. Neither is she enchanting with the tiara of psychology. She simply wears the homespun of sincerity and humility, and so is not afraid to kneel down and to get dirty in a place of prayer. I pray that God would help us to fall in love with prayer. With prayer. And you know what? It's not always easy. It's not. Today, I spent most of the day here at the church. And so I got to reading, got to studying, got to putting some things together and such like that. And I thought to myself, you know what? I got to go pray. And something else would pop up, and I'd put this in there and put that in there. So, you know what? I got to go pray. And I got up and I came in here to pray, and something caught my attention. I did it. Next thing I know, I'm back in my office again. Like, you know what? I got to go pray. I'm just saying, it's not just the easy thing to do. That's the disciplined thing to do. Well, I'll pray when I feel like it. You probably won't feel like it. Well, I'll pray when I get time. You won't get time. And so I just had to push everything aside. I had to put the phone away, turn the phone off, whatever and stuff, because every time I get ready to go pray, it was a text or it was a phone call or it was this or that and stuff like that. So I had to turn all that off, do all that away, and I had to come in here, shut the door, and I had to begin to pray. And you know, as I began to pray, it got to feeling better. The longer I prayed, the better I felt. I just simply use that example to encourage you that you won't always feel to do it, but it's still right. And do it. I can look out over this congregation today and I can see lost loved ones that you have. I know some of your prayer requests, the things that you have been praying for, the lost loved ones that you have. And I am encouraging you to buckle down and to pray and see if God won't come through. And you may find an Egyptian before you find your family. When they burned Ziklag with fire, and David inquired of the Lord and said, Lord, shall I go after them? And the Lord said, go, and you'll recover all. And so on his way, they found an Egyptian laying in the field, half dead. They could have walked by that Egyptian, and chances are they'd have never found their family. But they took time with that Egyptian, and the Egyptian said, yeah, I said, we were over in Ziklag, and we burned it with fire. Somebody said, hey, David. David came back and said, can you take me to them? He said, oh, yeah, I can. And he took them right to him, and David recovered everything. So don't be discouraged when you're praying and all of a sudden you see somebody else come in. Don't be discouraged when you're praying and you see other people begin to come in. It's like, well, God hasn't answered my prayer. Just keep on praying. And he is faithful. He that has promised is faithful. Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. God gave the church the gifts of the Spirit. Let's stand here tonight. God gave the church the gifts of the Spirit. He said there are many different diversities. And there are differences of administrations. Different diversities of operations. The manifestation of the Spirit is given unto every man to profit with all. And so he gave gifts to the church. He said, church is going to need this. Church is going to need this. Because there's going to be things that the church is going to go through, and faith has got to come into the place, and the church has got to know how to respond to it. Prophecy is going to come in. The church has got to know how to receive it. Word of knowledge is going to come in. Word of wisdom is going to come in. The church has got to know how to comprehend it. Working of miracles is going to take place. Church has got to know. Operation of it. Push forth in it. Tongues and interpretation is going to come forth. It's going to manifest and tell us what's happening, going on.
given these things to the church for the better and the benefit of the church. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's not by our talents. It's not by our abilities. It's not by any of those things. It was at a youth camp many, many years ago. This young girl with autism got up to sing at a talent show. She had a songbook. You can't tell this songbook, but words have kind of rubbed off of it. But on that songbook, you could tell. You could see it very vividly. And she had it upside down. She had it upside down, and she began to sing, "Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so." She couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. But there was something about that heart that was given praise to God that began to touch hearts all across that tabernacle. It's not by talent. It's not by mine. Brooklyn Tabernacle and the Mormon choirs have some of the greatest talents that's out there. It's not by might, by power, by talent, by ability. And some of you need to understand that. Some of you need to understand that. You think that it's your talent and your ability that's doing it. That ain't happening. If you don't know how to humble yourself before God, you're nothing but a tinkling cymbal and a sounding brass. It's God. It's God. And when we disregard God, and God doesn't get the glory. Paul said, no flesh shall glory in his presence. That's where the church has got to be the church. God, this isn't me. This is you. This is you. And we let God do it. And God begins to work. God begins to move. And sometimes it's just a still, small voice that begins to speak. Sometimes it's a rushing mighty wind. Sometimes it's a small gentle wind. But the presence of God is so strong and so real. And people feel it. People feel it. Let me just leave you with this saying as we prepare ourselves to come to an altar here tonight. I was praying last night here at prayer meeting and something came to my mind. I thought, wow. Here's blind Bartimaeus, and he's yelling out, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me." One group of people heard him, and they said, "Hush." But Jesus heard him and said, "Come." I just want to know how we hear people. Do we hear them just making a bunch of noise? Or do we hear their heart crying out? Man with the palsy. They came and they seen the house was full, and so they went up on the roof and they started tearing off the roof to get to Jesus. Some looked at him with indignation. Jesus looked at him with compassion and said, "Your sins are forgiven." How does the church see him? That the church, he's the head of the church. I want to hear him the way that he hears them. What are they saying? They may be saying how everything is going great for them. I don't need God. But there's something about that heart, something about the soul crying out. We can hear them being brazen, being crass. We can hear them cussing. But if you keep listening, you'll hear that same voice talk about the trouble that they're in. The family problems that they have. Well, just a little while ago, they were saying how everything is going great, everything's wonderful. But you keep listening, and you'll hear the true heart begin to cry out. You'll see the beating of their chest as they beat their chest and show forth how much strength that they have. But you keep watching, and you'll see that underside, that camouflage facade, they're hurt and they're needing. That's where the church has got to shine. We are that church. We are that church. Praise God. Well, that every head would be bowed here tonight.